Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay are your hosts every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Broadview Mortgage, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. And Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Hi, Neil. How was your weekend?
More importantly, how was your vacation, Diane?
My vacation was fabulous. Mexico was lovely, sunny. It was a little too hot, though.
Well, you look great, even though you tell me, not even though, particularly since you're able
I'm like,
to come,
where are we going with this, Neil?
Right. Right away, I made a mistake. But you actually went to Mexico and did not get sick. I'm very proud of you.
I did not. Nick Sanz is my favorite sushi place in Cabo.
Yeah, that's very brave of you to have sushi in Mexico. It's not exactly the home of sushi, but...
It is, though. How much fish? We were down there for the Bisbee fishing tournament. We did not enter the tournament, but we were down there watching. 354-pound sailfish, Marlin, won the tournament.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting news.
I'm very impressed. So before we introduce our two great guests, we, as we do every week, have a few articles that we are bringing to your attention that we think is really both interesting and hopefully will be somewhat helpful in managing your own financial affairs.
You know, but before we get started on the articles, though, if anyone has any questions for us, feel free, or our guests, feel free to give us a call at
1290.
Which is a coincidence. I was on vacation. I had vacation brain for a minute.
And it's so interesting how, by coincidence, the number, the telephone number here is the same as the radio station.
I know. It's
and you
amazing.
Forgot. And you forgot. And you forgot.
Or email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. So, and also, I wanted to give a shout out to a person that sent us an email, Mark. Thank you for your kind words over email. We appreciate them and keep on listening.
So one of the articles that I brought in is called Picker. Now, what that means is it is an article about stock pickers. And stock pickers are investors who look to do well in the stock market by choosing individual stocks as opposed to buying a group of stocks or an index fund.
What I think is it helps to clarify is they're buying companies. Stock pickers usually look at companies and buy companies as opposed to just buying a stock on the exchange. They're really looking at which companies they think are going to outperform.
And up until 20 years ago, that was really the only way you could invest unless you bought a mutual fund. But even the mutual fund that you bought were in the business of picking stocks. And so all the literature, all the academic literature going back into the 20s was about how to better manage your affairs by doing fundamental analysis. And then in the 70s came a theory called the efficient market theory that said that stock picking is really a waste of time because all stocks are priced at the right price at any moment in time because there are so many investors that are all looking for information that all information which is available to everyone gets put into the valuation of a stock, and therefore there's no way to beat the stock market. And when Vanguard came out with index funds, which are a basket of the entire portfolio of whether it's the S&P 500 or all energy stocks, more and more people began to believe, particularly since most of the stock pickers didn't do as well as the indexes, they began to simply take the easy route, which is to buy an index fund that had lower commissions and would do as well as the market.
And that concept has really exploded with the introduction of ETF funds. So those are exchange-traded funds that trade like stocks but are a basket of underlying companies.
And what this article talks about is one of the major implications of that, and that is because so much money now is invested in index funds, there are less people doing fundamental research. And the correlation between stocks, that is, how each stock moves relative to the averages, has gone from basically 50% to now where it's 81%. So that means that even if you are able to or believe you're able to pick an individual stock, it may not matter because stocks tend to move in the same direction because a good deal of the buying is being done indiscriminately. It's being done to create that entire basket. Now, one of the interesting things about that is, and you know, one of the things that the efficient market theory, which was the predicate that went behind all of this, was that there would be universally everyone out there in the marketplace looking to do as much research as they could so they could get an edge on everyone else. Well, if everyone else now is buying index funds and no one's doing research, the irony of all of this is that it may be, and I'm not saying it's happening today, there may be a time in the near future when it will make sense to be stock pickers because the market is not going to be as efficient as it once was.
I think, though, it's also important to note that a lot of the mutual funds are, in fact, stock pickers. Unless you're buying an index fund, any other mutual fund that you're buying, those are stock pickers. And, you know, if you can find the right money managers, they can definitely outperform those indexes.
And one of the best parts of this article is the end, which, you know, goes back to the whole question of the psychology of investors. It says that this guy, Bob Robetti, is still trying to make money the old-fashioned way. The 63-year-old has been picking stocks for more than three decades at his New York firm. He regularly speaks to managers at companies, scrutinizes balance sheets, and searches for out-of-favor companies. Quote, I know how to pick stocks. I'm better at it than I was 20 years ago. I'm convinced of that. But if you look at my results, you would say that I'm not. So it's this sort of sense that people think that they can do something, but they can't. And yet he may, if he just holds his patience for a while, if more and more people believe that he can't, the irony is that he probably can, as there are less people out there making the market.
That contrarian theory.
The contrarian theory. So I used to be a stock picker. I used to be a securities analyst on Wall Street. And, you know, that day is over. But if I can live long enough, maybe I can get back into business. So I see that you have an article in front of you.
I do, yes. And it's entitled, Beware the Broker, Ask Questions and Move with Caution. And it comes from the New York Times this past Saturday. And it really goes to show the article is written by Paul Sullivan. And he says, you know, that people often fall victim to financial firms because even the wealthy who are supposed to be sophisticated on money matters can be targets. And the reason why this article came out is Massachusetts security regulator is filing suit against Morgan Stanley due to them running sales contests to incentivize their brokers to sell security-backed loans. And so what happens is if anyone's been or has worked in a large brokerage firm is oftentimes the management wants you to sell something to your clients. And so they offer rich incentives, whether it be in monetary compensation or trips or some fringe benefits as a, you know, business development account or something along those lines. They are trying to incentivize you to sell things. And usually, you know, these firms, as this article points out, they are not in business for charity. Their purpose is to make money. And so normally when they're offering these incentive programs, they're making more money off the product that the broker is selling. And so here at, you know, someone's quoted Kevin Neal, a former broker at UBS Wealth Management. He said that clients need to help. He helps now clients find the best advisors and said that when there are sales contests, when the broker calls you on the phone, you should really be asking questions of why is the broker calling me? What is the purpose of this call? And normally if it's to sell you a product, you want to think about yourself as being on a used car sales lot where they're trying to sell me something. Now, why? And that really you should ask what the commission that the broker is getting in return for you selling this. And, you know, oftentimes the brokers love to sell the sizzle and downplay the risk. So you really want to make sure you know what your broker is selling you. And, you know, this article then goes on to talk about the difference between the broker-dealer world, where those are the big major brokerage firms like the Morgan Stanleys and the Merrill Lynches out there. They are held to a much lower standard than the registered investment advisors. They're held to a suitable standard. So is it suitable for the client? Or in the registered investment advisor world, they're actually held to a fiduciary standard, which means, is it in the client's best interest?
What world do you live in, Diane?
We are in the client's best interest world, so we're a registered investment advisor.
Another reason why you should be calling Arlington Financial for all your financial needs.
Exactly. And so then this article goes on to point out that there are oftentimes huge kind of problems in the industry where one advisor said that they saw a potential client, and this was an older client with a $2.5 million net worth, of which $1.5 million was invested in annuities, and the other $1 million was in non-public real estate investment trusts, that which are illiquid. You know, Neil, you can speak to that world of the non-public real estate investment trusts.
Thank you. I'm not one of those people. All I can tell you is when I was on Wall Street, the joke would be there would be a loudspeaker announcement saying, we want to move the stock double commission. And you hear the brokers pick up the phone saying, hello, Ma. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Broadview Mortgage. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290 if you have any questions of us or our guests.
Or you could also email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And we are thrilled to have in studio today Christy Clayton, president of Projects General Construction, and Sherilyn Milton, the vice president of development at Projects General Construction, to talk to us today a little bit about themselves and their business. And so how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for being here. So first, Sherilyn, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about your early life and how you made it here into construction.
I was raised in the Northwest, and in my hippie days, went out to see America. I got as far as California, and I said, why would I go farther? Ended up in California, and I started doing design for California closets, and I designed for them for 20 years.
And maybe I could use your expertise. If you would hate to see my closet.
I would love to see your closet because I know I could fix it.
I thought you know everybody's closet here.
Pretty much. No, but I did it for 20 years. It was great. And then I did design showcase houses with Bruce Giffen and Jeff Crane. And we had a conversation and they said, we have an idea for a business and we think you're the girl to run the show. And I said, okay.
Great. Well, interesting. And what about you, Christy?
Well, my story goes back to high school, and that is my parents did an addition on their home back when, and my uncle was the contractor. I had a fascination for the process, the building process, and in doing so, I continued my schooling. When I got to college, I decided to do interior design, thinking that was what all the women did. I did graphic design. I got into architecture. After seeing the project that my uncle had done, I thought architecture was what I wanted to do. And after seeing friends come and go often during the night in college, I didn't think that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to be more involved with the process of the building process. And so I took a construction class at the time, was part of the building, and I loved it. And at that point, I took a field trip to Santa Barbara, met Bruce Giffen and Jeff Crane at Giffen and Crane, and I signed on to them as an estimator, and at that point I interviewed with them wanting to take their company to San Luis Obispo or Paso Robles, and I was so serious about it I bought a home in Paso Robles with my parents, and I think after 8 years of estimating with Bruce and Jeff, I met Sherilyn. She was already set up with projects and it was doing so well, decided to continue the company with her.
And you actually graduated from Cal Poly.
I did.
With a degree in construction management?
A degree in construction management, that's correct.
So what does that actually mean? What is that degree?
They take you through the courses of, you know, your general ed. We do a lot of architecture classes as well. And we take a lot of commercial classes. So they really gear you towards a commercial industry, of which case, you know, I will never forget dirt classes, and you learn all about the heavy equipment that's needed, estimating management from beginning to end, how to run a job and see it through.
But, you know, one of the things we should point out is that when Bruce Giffen started this, I guess over 10 years ago, the model was really new. That is, Giffen and Crane is one of the premier builders, residential builders in the community. And what I believe he tried to do with projects is create a boutique for people who didn't want to build a house but wanted to improve the house that they had. And I guess it also, from a business standpoint, was a hedge against a downturn. If people in a recession aren't buying and building new houses, they probably would consider redoing their old house. So this was a change in the paradigm for construction companies in town. It was one of the first to basically focus on the smaller job.
That's exactly right. And there was immediately a niche when we started the company over 10 years ago. Immediately, I got too busy to handle the work by myself, which is why I cried uncle and Christy came on board, which was great. And there's a lot of people who want to do a remodel, a kitchen, a bath. The smallest project we ever did was a hand railing. Mm-hmm. But they
wanted a hand railing?
A hand railing. It was a couple aging in place. And I went to the house and I said, let me see how you go down the stairs. And it was 7 steps down, a little landing, and then a little U-turn and another 7 steps down. Well, this little old lady was hanging on to the one railing, got to the middle landing, was sitting on a milk stool, and after she caught her breath from those 7 steps, she'd rocket and launch herself down the other 7 steps. So I said, okay, we need 2 hand railings so you can hold on to both sides. We ended up staying there for 4 months because they liked us, trusted us, and they said, well, since you're here anyway, how about this? And so we were there for another 4 months.
There's a great movie called Mr. Blandings Builds His Dream House.
It was a great movie.
1948 with Cary Grant. And the movie, there's a chip in the front of his doorway, and he decides that he and his wife are going to fix that one chip. Anyway, the end of the story is he has to rebuild the whole house. And the same thing happened to my wife and I back in New York. We had a house on
that
the beach, and we had one little thing we wanted to do. We ended up basically rebuilding the house. So one of the good things about this business model is they start off with a handrail, and they build the World Trade Center.
pretty much. Yeah, it's been fun.
So what's your typical project size?
Typical. I don't even know if there is a typical anymore. We started as a kitchen and bath remodeling company, and we've done anything as large as a second-story addition, which ended up being a full house remodel. But I would say typical, maybe between...
Or average might be a better
I would
way.
Say between 60 and 150.
Okay.
60 and 150 what?
It's more average.
Thousand.
60,000 to 150,000. And that really is typical on a bathroom, a kitchen, whatever it might be. But a lot of clients will say, while we're there, we don't want just a bathroom anymore. It's a bathroom or all bathrooms and a kitchen or you name it.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people don't usually expect to see 2 women in the construction business. So how would you say your gender has either helped or hurt you in the industry?
I think it's been great. I think the guys who are out in the field appreciate having a woman to work with and work for. I don't see a
gender problem. I think it's just a matter more of competence and confidence. Mm-hmm. And we have both of those C's, as in Christy Clayton.
And Sherilyn.
This is radio, so I don't want anyone to get the wrong image. They're both very beautiful ladies. So this is not like, you know, your stereotypical, you know, woman with a hard hat and a jackhammer. But do you get pushed around at all ever by someone who's a contractor that you just told, a subcontractor you just told that that's not right, remove it, and they never complain?
No, I personally don't feel a pushback. I will say when I first got out of college and I just started Giffen and Crane, I thought, how am I going to be able to tell somebody in the industry who's been working here for 30 years what I need him to do? And I think after a while, it just comes natural. And we've established such great relationships with these guys that we call them our dream team. You know, we work with a lot of the similar or a lot of the same trades. And we know what to expect from them, and they know what to expect from us.
So now, I would think that it would be an advantage, being that you're both women, given that most women are in charge of the kitchen and bathroom remodel, that I've got to imagine that they feel much more comfortable with you than some guy.
I think it is an edge, Diane, because we do know how a home runs. Mm-hmm. We run our own homes. And we're really good communicators. We talk like women. We talk about all the details and all the nuances. So it, I think
I always
does
joke when I walk around my house and the light switch is like not where it should be, that some guy clearly did this.
Or you go into a bathroom and the shower doesn't have somewhere to put your leg.
Right.
To shape.
All right. Enough of the guy bashing.
It's not guy bashing. I think we should take the design element.
I think we need to regroup.
Neil's feeling a little outnumbered. I like it.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. And we can be reached on the phone at 564-1290.
And we have in studio with us today Christy Clayton, President of Projects General Construction, and Sherilyn Milton, Vice President of Development at Projects General Construction. And we're talking today about a woman-run construction company in Santa Barbara. And so what would you say is your niche, or what would you tout as your reason why people should work with you?
We specialize in small projects. We don't do a lot of ground-up construction. And so with a small project, it can be anything, but we do a lot of kitchens and bathrooms because the kitchen especially we feel is the heart of the home. And
it's interesting. At Arlington, we say that all the time.
Oh, is that right?
The kitchen's where all the, you know, our office is very homey, like,
and
the kitchen's where the heart is, or the big decisions or discussions in a family happen.
That's where you gather. That's where you nurture. That's where you nourish. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's our sweet spot. We really like that. But we'll do pretty much anything. We'll do patios or the famous hand railing.
And I think also because we are women, and like you were saying earlier, the women really are the ones that care about the kitchen, the bath, you know, all that stuff. We relate. I mean, it's pretty easy that we can relate. I've heard some clients talk about how it was when they worked with other companies, but when they work with us, it's a little different. I think we make it a little bit more fun. I think it's enjoyable. I think we just bring a different perspective into it.
So walk me through a client engagement. So I'm interested in redoing my kitchen, and I have you come over, you take a look at it. Is it both of you? Is it one of you? How does that work?
Yes, we do a meet and greet, we call it, and I enjoy photography, and so I'm usually the one you'll find with the camera.
That's good, because I cut off everybody's heads.
Oh, just like my mom.
Yes.
And that was back before, you know, the digital age.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of photos of my nose on down.
Well, we've decided that is exactly what I need to do so that we can have something to relate back to. While Sherilyn is beautiful with clients, she speaks very nicely with clients and knows exactly how to get out of them what it is they're really looking for. So
we'll do a meet and greet, and then that's it. Actually where we assess the project, make sure it's a good match for us and our company and our calendar, and that it gives the client an opportunity to assess us and say, would I like to work with these people? And after that, then we go into whether it needs design with an interior designer, an architect, or is it pretty straightforward and can we just move forward from there?
Mm-hmm. So then as the homeowner or the client of yours, let's say I have an issue with one of your subcontractors or tradesmen. How
do I voice that? Just call you
just
up?
Just let us know. Yeah. We like to take care of any issues right away. Something like that, we might want to find out, first of all, what is the problem. We did have one particular client years ago who was interested in, well, was concerned about a painter. And so we sat and we made sure we had a conversation with the painter and just made sure that they respected what it was the client was looking for. And we took care of it pretty much right away.
We're talking about two women running a construction company. Are there any women in town that are in the that are construction workers?
Sure, I know a couple of carpenters,
tile finishers.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah, not a lot, but we're out there.
I'd love to see the technical schools get back on track, and for the kids that are not college bound. It's a great trade. It's a great way to make a living. It's artistic.
Oh, don't even get me started. Really? I say that all the time because where I grew up in Massachusetts is you had a vocational school and a college prep high school. Mm-hmm. And it for somebody who doesn't see themselves going to college, it's a great way to get skills that you can apply and start making mm-hmm. good money. A mm-hmm. lot, you know, mm-hmm. plumbers, electricians.
Sure.
It's very satisfying. I do worry about what's going to happen in 20, 30, 40 years when the senior craftsmen are all retiring.
You know, the women will be taking over.
But who's going to be doing the actual work? Yeah. So that's why we need the vocational schools.
And if I may, too, I went back to Cal Poly about a year ago now. And when I graduated years ago, there was four women in my class out of 40 graduating students. Now, about a year ago now, there was 12 women graduating in the same size class. So we're growing. We're getting, I think we're now a little more predominant in the field or in the industry, excuse me.
So you're seeing more parity, more gender parity in the industry.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't been back there recently, but I would bet that's probably even more so.
And one thing interesting about your marketing material is it's not hiding who you are. In fact, you're using it as a marketing tool.
Absolutely.
It's very clear that in your material that you're a woman, and that is something, so you're using it as a positive, not trying to make believe.
Absolutely. When we show up, Neil, it's pretty obvious we are women.
good point.
I'm looking at Richard Dugan, our engineer, and we're looking at each other.
I think they need to come back every week. So Sherilyn, so you are a martial arts expert.
I have a first degree black belt in Hapkido, yes.
And how does that, you know, think you, that These helps sort of. You in the business and in dealing with people in general?
When I trained in martial arts, every time we trained on the mat, when we finished the session, we all as a group in a very loud voice spoke our tenets, and they were courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, indomitable spirit. All of those tenets are ingrained in my cells, and I think they have helped me maintain a certain business level, ethics, morally, and with clients. Now, the guys do know I can break wood. So maybe in the back of their mind, they're thinking that. But it's actually more of a philosophy.
Great. So tell us a little bit about your experience of running a small business in Santa Barbara.
Let's see. Where do I begin? You know, it is a very small town. And I think, I don't even know how to answer this one. It's not easy.
It's just like anything, I think. Christy and I tag team pretty much everything.
Like this.
Like this. And so what one of us doesn't think of, the other one does. We have specialties. Christy is brilliant at marketing and the nuts and bolts of the construction, where my strong points are more in customer relations and communication. So we tag team everything, and it's just a matter of passing the baton and making sure we don't drop any of those batons.
But one thing I was thinking as you're saying that, running a business in Santa Barbara, something that's very important to me is keeping it local. We have such great tradesmen in Santa Barbara. It's very important to me that we keep these guys busy rather than taking them outside of Santa Barbara, where we may save a little bit of money. I feel it's very important that we build our relationships with these guys in town. And when we have something that we might need to go back for, some warranty issue, I want those guys to be coming back to take care of their own mistakes or just whatever might have happened. And they do. And I think a lot of that is because we really
that's true.
Foster that relationship
absolutely.
And reputation.
Absolutely. Same with clients. I mean, we're all local. Let's just work as a team here.
Now, what's your geographical region that you cover?
Anywhere from Goleta to Carpinteria. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things about a small business in this town, which you alluded to, is that unlike New York, for example, there's only so many mistakes you can make and you're out of business. And it's a very small town in New York. You can keep going because it's such a big city.
Yep.
Here, for every 50 jobs, if you get one wrong, it's really going to hurt. So
absolutely.
I guess you really have to be on top of every job because
absolutely.
Reputation is really important.
One thing, if I may, there was a client. This was very important to me. We had a client who we did a concrete pad for, and it was done by the concrete guys, and they had made a mistake. The clients were not happy. They were not happy, and they very much voiced their opinions to us. I saw the problems. We took care of it. The client wrote us one of the most beautiful testimonials because we stood by it. I mean, we never left. We were, I don't know, immediately we went back there with, people who looked at the work. We got it taken care of. I think the clients have been extremely happy and have called us numerous times since then. So that means a lot.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara, and the home of Diane Duva's Bocce Field.
We are the champions.
Oh, she's a champion.
Arlington Financial Advisor, Bocce Ball, Wednesday Night League.
Is this
or
all,
Monday Night
Is this
League.
All women?
No.
Oh, okay. So
co-ed.
I thought you were going to pound on me for that.
No, no. No, no. And we're in studio with, if you've been listening, Christy Clayton, the president of Projects General Construction, and Sherilyn Milton, vice president of development at Projects General Construction. And we are having fun making fun of Neil.
Thank you.
And it's very appropriate because Thursday night is the gala for Women's Economic Ventures, which help women start their own businesses.
Oh, wonderful.
And so it's great that we have you on this week.
This is perfect.
Little homage to, mm-hmm. to Weave. Mm-hmm. So tell us, what do you think your biggest struggles have been in business, whether it be being two women running a construction business or just in general?
I think for me it is making sure that all the details are perfect or as perfect as we can make them. Christy and I are both a little obsessive compulsive personalities.
Notice well, that's what you want when
I
you're
know.
Doing your kitchen.
I know. Not disorder. It's a personality trait. We think it's a good thing. And so we do follow all those details. And if something is not quite right, we're going to just drag it around until we can make sure it's right. So it's the details that keep us up at night or get us up early in the morning to make sure that we want our clients to be thrilled. We want them to use the word remodel and fun in the same sentence.
Wow, I haven't heard many of those in the same sentence. And what would you say, Christy?
I've been thinking since Sherilyn was talking, and struggles for me, it's I don't know, it's very tough because I've seen this since I was a young girl with my uncle doing the remodeling and such, and I feel like with the help through my uncle and then now Giffen and Crane, and now I'm doing this with Sherilyn, the struggles, I don't know, it's kind of weird to say, but I really enjoy doing what we do, and I wake up every morning enjoying what we do, and yes, there are nights where I think about, when can we do this and when can we do that as far as scheduling certain trades and stuff, but I think the struggle for me would be thinking too much about what it is that I do, because my life, especially right now, is primarily projects and the jobs and marketing and, you know.
Well, they say that the best, when you choose a profession and it doesn't feel like work, it's your passion, that's what you want it to be.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of things you see are what a therapist sees, because you're in someone's home during, and actually it's an emotional.
A stressful time.
Mm-hmm. And I remember back when I lived in New York and people were renovating their beach house, many, many times when the renovation, particularly if it was a big one, was over, the couple
there was
divorced.
A divorce.
It was a divorce. And the reason was what kept the marriage together was that they had this project. And they probably, the day after it was done, they looked at each other and said, this is a nice house, but I don't want to spend time with you. So the question
obviously it wasn't big enough where they could both have their own wings.
Right. So the question is, how much, just so we can do a little gossip here, girls, but how much...
Careful, it is a small town.
But how much do you end up, you know, in the middle of any type of... I mean, what do you do with a husband and wife, and or do you see this where there's an argument that takes place with you standing there, or
that does happen. And you're right; we are in their nest.
It's
so
awkward.
We are in their nest, and we realize that. And one of the things we do is we actually make a schedule that we keep, and so people do know what's coming and when it's coming. But when something goes south, and there's, say, a husband has a different opinion from the wife, we just sit down and we talk it out, and then we're going to hug it out, and then we're just going to come to a compromise.
So it's a bad idea if the husband says to you, don't you agree with me? That's not a good answer. Is yes, I do.
Gosh, I feel like we're speaking from experience, Neil. Should we get the couch out for you?
I'm always into therapy. I think I'm always trying to improve my mental health. I'm just looking at this as another therapy session. Do you mind if I lie down?
Please do.
So
it sounds like it would be helpful to have a psychology degree as well. Did you take some psychology classes?
I thought 4 years or 6 years of college was enough, doing these four different majors. But I guess psychology should have been one of them. Spanish, that would have been another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I could see why. So given that you're both seasoned veterans and owning a small business, what advice would you have for other people out there looking to start their own business?
Do your research into whatever company field you want to do. Get yourself well-funded, whether it's through Weave. Do a business plan.
I was just going to say that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I did go through the Weave program. I got my business plan done through them, and that was a big step for me. I really appreciated doing that. I was one of the more established companies, but seeing around me what some of the other newbies, if you want to call it, the companies that were just starting, it's a struggle. It's hard. I mean, for a lot of people out there, but know your industry.
Yeah, and have
know
a plan.
Exactly what you're getting into.
And there's something that I told all the kids when I was teaching at City College business, that if you can learn the business on someone else's dime, it makes sense rather than start your own company. And you guys started out working for Giffen and Crane, mm-hmm. which is a good way to do it, mm-hmm. because there's things about running a business you just don't know, and it's always better. I know people want to get out on their own and own their own business, but it's always better to work for someone first. Mm-hmm. Let them help you make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to say is when I was young, my grandfather taught my dad, and my dad then told me one thing that's very important. It's not what you know, it's who you know in life. And so I was not born with construction background by any means. My dad, if he's listening now, he would not be the one saying that he thought I was going to be in construction. I was a cheerleader. I was a dancer. I was not the tomboy. I've got two sisters that are teachers now, but they were the tomboys growing up. And it was truly who you know than what you know, because when I was at Cal Poly, I got the degree, but they taught me the commercial world. I think they started teaching me the concept of, you know, the estimating, the building, the process of construction. But it was Bruce Giffen and Jeff Crane that taught me and got me through, you know, calling subcontractors, the confidence, reading plans. It was very important. And so I think looking back at my life, I would say to anybody who wants to start a company, go out there and start meeting people in that industry, because you learn so much by doing that.
And if a job is too big for you, do you
learn that early?
No, but do you offer that Giffen and Crane?
Absolutely. Yeah. Ground up construction, that has happened numerous times.
So you don't go outside your bailiwick then?
No, if I'm not comfortable with it, I will not do it.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment. Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we have in studio with us Christy Clayton, President of Projects General Construction, and Sherilyn Milton, Vice President of Development at Projects General Construction. Thanks for being here today,
Absolutely.
Ladies.
Thanks for having us.
So when you started out, you were either the first or the second company that specialized in smaller jobs. Now, there are other companies now that do the same thing, or at least try to do the same thing that you do. How has the competition affected your marketing, your product? It's a more competitive landscape now.
You said marketing. I think one thing that we differentiate, I will say, is I think our marketing pieces are pretty obvious. I don't see anybody else marketing out there.
When you say that, do you mean that so they're working on larger jobs and then, oh, you mean mailing
pieces,
it
like
out.
Actually, okay. I think, I don't know how they're getting their own clients, but I think our marketing pieces from the beginning, I think, you know, put your best foot forward. I think our marketing pieces are out there.
And then back to the small town thing. This is a small town and we have been in business 10 and a half years. And we have a lot of repeat business and referral business. And it's the reputation, which, you know, you live and die on your reputation in this town.
And speaking of reputations, how important is it to get recommendations from architects?
Absolutely. Great.
We love it. We go back and forth. They will refer us and we will refer them.
Mm-hmm. Now, given that you do work on smaller projects, how many of them would you say require an architect?
Not that many, unless we're getting into something structural. It really can be just an interior designer, not just, an interior designer, or sometimes Christy or I can handle it, depending on what the scope of the work is.
But, how involved the client wants to be, too.
Right, and how involved the client wants to be. Mm-hmm. Right.
So given that you are a woman owned business here in Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. Your geographical region goes from Goleta to Carpinteria. Mm-hmm. You work in that sweet spot of $60,000 to $150,000 for some sort of remodel mm-hmm. project. Mm-hmm. What would you say is what differentiates you from everybody? Why should I call you to redo my kitchen as opposed to calling one of your competitors?
Our communication level goes down to sub-level 3 almost immediately, where we really listen to clients and we'll never say, I know what you mean, don't worry about it, we'll handle it. We really want to know what you think and we want to get you involved in it. So we're never going to slough someone off from their opinion, their input. So it's a very much hands-on company.
And the other thing, too, is I think we're very detailed in what we can provide for a client. As, for example, before a job gets signed up, we present a client with a scope of work, a very detailed scope of work, something that you will – it's almost like a Bible. I mean, you can – it explains every single detail of what we're going to do. At the same time, we provide clients with schedules. And so you'll know exactly, like Sherilyn was saying earlier, what's happening each day. We update our clients on a daily basis. We communicate. I like to make sure every morning we are there, open up the job. We are there at the end of the day to close the job. In the mornings, we talk about what I will tell a client who's going to be there, how long will they be there for, what's going to happen, so that they're really involved in the project as well. I think that also really, you know, keeps us different from all the other guys.
And is the competition a little bit different in the competition for the big jobs? The big jobs, everyone's looking for a general contractor. Isn't part of your competition, I'll do it myself? That is, the couple says, you know, if we thought about it, we can save some money. We'll do the bathroom ourselves.
And if that's what they say, that's probably not our client, and that is fine. It's probably a smaller project, and that is totally fine. One thing I will say that, you know, when people first look at Cheryl and I, they think that we're an interior designer. We are not interior designers. We are contractors. And as Cheryl was just saying, the two of us each have our own general contractor's license. In fact, between the two of us,
we have three
contractor's licenses.
We're so overqualified.
So when we do know what we're talking about.
Well, you know, I'm a radio host, and I do not have my radio host's license, so I clearly don't know what I'm talking about.
You did a good job, Neil.
Christy and Sherilyn, you guys are terrific. I wholeheartedly recommend that people take a look at you before doing anything dangerous like doing your own kitchen and before you even hire a therapist.
Thank you.
And how should people get in touch with you?
Call us would be the first, I think, 805-682-2226. Check out our website,
projectsgc.com.
Excuse me.
And you've been listening to Money Talk, and we'll be back here next week. Thank you.